All rise. The Chief Judge and members of the United States Air Force Court of Criminal Appeals, hear ye, hear ye. All persons having business before the United States Air Force Court of Criminal Appeals, draw near, for the court is now in session. God save the United States and this honorable court.
Please be seated. Court calls the case of United States v. Worcester. Both sides prepared to argue?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
Counsel, I understand you want 5 minutes for rebuttal.
That's correct, Your
Honor. All right. Lawyers.
Chief Judge Wayne, honorable members of this court, I'm Captain Tom Smith, and along with Lieutenant Colonel Pat Wells, we represent the appellant, Tech Sergeant Wilson. May it please the court. Article 12 applies when a military member is imprisoned in a state or federal jail within the continental United States. This is clear from the plain language of Article 12, the legislative history of Article 12, and case law regarding the interpretation of Article 12. With regard to the plain language, Article 12 says, no member of the armed forces of the United States shall be placed in confinement in immediate association with enemy prisoners or other foreign nationals not members of the armed forces of the United States. There is no geographical limitation contained in that article. Furthermore, there is no exception carved out in that article for state or federal jails. And Congress specifically chose the words other foreign nationals and didn't choose the words enemy foreign nationals. Furthermore, the legislative history is clear with regard to the interpretation of Article 12. And the legislative history captures an interesting conversation between two committee members on pages 914 and 915 in the legislative history. Mr. Felix Larkin is talking with Representative John Anderson, and Mr. Larkin says, I don't think it was thought through completely when the floor amendment was offered regarding Article 12. It says it was limited in the floor amendment to confinement overseas. That's one indication on page 914 that Article 12 is applicable within the continental United States. On page 915, he continued, and we have deleted, if you notice, the words outside the continental limits and made it apply every place. So the legislative history also shows that Article 12 not only applies outside the continental United States, but within the continental United States.
Well, given that this was done, it argues that this was enacted immediately following World War II, would it have made much sense to apply this to the United States?
Given the context of...
Given the context that was coming out of, obviously, the World War overseas, and they would Congress have been thinking about Article 12 in terms of housing military members with foreign nationals inside the U.S., would that have been the scope of what they were trying to achieve?
If I understand your question correctly, Your Honor, the appellant's position is, yes, it would have been appropriate, even given the context following World War II, to address confinement inside the United States, given that there were enemy prison camps inside the United States as well, if I'm correct in understanding Your Honor's question.
Okay, go ahead. I'm just trying to understand given the context in which all of these hearings took place in Article 12, the discussion of Article 12, where the people that were involved in the legislative history are talking about housing with, you know, enemy prisoners of war having just come out of some of our military members being housed in foreign jails, why would Congress have been concerned about housing military members with foreign nationals inside the United States at that time?
Well, Your Honor, that's not clear from the legislative history why specifically Congress provided in the additional language in the statute specifically prohibiting confinement and immediate association with other foreign nationals. Appellant can understand that given the context of the creation of Article 12 shortly after World War II, being a world war, given the fact that there were confinement facilities inside the United States to house POWs from Germany. We know from history that there were prison camps for Japanese Americans. Perhaps that was a concern, that the idea of housing a military member with a foreign national was also a risk to a military member in addition to not just an enemy.
Okay, and I didn't mean for to have you go down a history trail. I just was wondering if there was something that wasn't clear from the legislative history that Congress may have been contemplating given when these hearings were taking place. But your argument, I guess, is basically Article 12 is playing on its face.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, go ahead.
And also with regard to the case law, the case United States versus Wise, 64 MJ 468, a 2007 case from the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces. In that case, although that case was regarding, that case dealt specifically with whether a strand of concertina wire constituted immediate association, the court did mention in that case this conversation between Representative Anderson and Mr. Larkin, and the court's interpretation of that conversation, and they say on page 476, Article 12 was expanded to include both United States facilities and foreign jails. It specifically says that in United States versus Wise. So even the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces in their case law has made it clear that Article 12 applies every place. Furthermore, this is the fact that Article 12 applies inside the continental United States is a position that the government initially took in this case. In the initial briefs filed before this court, the government took the position that Article 12 applied, and that was the whole purpose the confinement facility cited to isolate the appellant in this case during his entire stay of confinement. And now the government has done a 180-degree turn and now takes the opposite position. But the appellant would remind this court that the government initially took a different approach in their initial brief. Furthermore, with regard to the second part of the issue, the appellant's position is there is no need for further fact-finding in this case. The appellant's never raised an Article 12 violation claim. The appellant merely cited Article 12 as the irrational basis for why he was confined in isolation during his stay at the Cook County Confinement Facility in Georgia. He never alleged an Article 12 violation, or never alleged that he was confined in immediate association with foreign nationals. Therefore, with regard to the second part of the issue, whether further fact-finding is necessary to determine whether an Article 12 violation occurred in this case, appellant does not believe that further fact-finding is necessary on that issue.
So your argument is that an Article 12 violation did occur?
No, Your Honor.
Did not occur?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
What's the remedy here? I mean, we understand, so you don't think further fact-finding is necessary. So what should we do with this case?
Your Honor, appellant maintains the same position that he did in his initial assignment of errors. It was inappropriate for the Air Force.
I understand what the initial assignment of errors is, but you understand that CAP has asked us to address this in light of Article 12. So we want to know your position on how we should resolve it, given their direction to us to address whether or not Article 12 applies overseas or in the United States or both, and whether we can resolve that issue without further fact. That's their direction to us.
Yes, Your Honor. With regard to whether Article 12 applies or doesn't apply, it's appellant's position that it does apply. But whether Article 12 does apply or not, it's appellant's position that that really has no effect on his assignment of error or his plea in this case.
But it hasn't been sent back for us to reevaluate the Article 55 issue.
Yes, Your Honor, I agree.
So how is it, I mean, we're restricted in what we can analyze on remand. How are we going to take back the article, take back into consideration the Article 55 question, if CAF didn't give us that leeway to do so?
Appellate agrees with Your Honor, and under United States versus Ginn, I believe I'm pronouncing the name correctly, I don't know if it's Ginn or Ginn, it's the appellant's position that this court is limited to the specified issue. But with regard to the specified issue, appellant hasn't raised an Article 12 violation. Therefore, the appellant doesn't believe there is a remedy for him under Article 12.
Well, let's say CAF has raised it for you.
I mean, this is helping your cause, isn't it?
So what do we do with it? You understand our position here. We have a narrow scope of an issue that we're looking at. So let's say we agree with you. Article 12 applies everywhere. Your argument then is, does it matter, so we don't need to find whether or not an Article 12 violation occurred or not? Is that your argument?
Well, yes, I believe.
So that means that leave us then. Since they haven't given us the original assignment of error to consider, what do we do? I guess I keep going back to what do we do with this case?
Your Honor, it's appellant's position that...
Do we just say it applies everywhere and just leave it at that? Because that would seem to be an interesting result, but with regard to your client, what do we do?
Your Honor, I think United States versus Jim is at least instructive on this issue. It's a balanced position that this court merely has to address the specified issue in this case, and if that specified issue results in a change in this court's original ruling in this case, then that would be something that this court could do. If I refer Your Honor to footnote 2 of the Ginn case, and I apologize for reading, but it says, when this court sets aside the decision of the Court of Appeals, Court of Criminal Appeals, and remands for further consideration, we don't question the correctness of all that was done in the earlier opinion announcing that decision. All that is to be done on remand is for the court below to consider the matter which is the basis for the remand, and then to add whatever discussion is deemed appropriate to dispose of that matter in the original opinion. Therefore, it's appellant's position that this court really has to address whether Article 12 applies or not, and then if further fact-finding is necessary to determine whether an Article 12 violation occurred. Appellant's not alleging an Article 12 violation occurred. So, to appellant, it's irrelevant whether Article 12 applies or not. And then all that's left for this court to do is to determine whether or not Article 12 applies, and if this court finds that it does or if this court finds that it doesn't, how does that affect this court's original analysis in this case?
Okay, let's take that up. Let's say we find Article 12 applies inside the continental United States. Now let's say that we find that there has been, in fact, an Article 12 violation. How does that help your client? What are we supposed to do next? Are we supposed to go back to the original Article 55 assignment of errors and reevaluate when CAF doesn't seem to have given us that leeway? Is that what you're arguing? I'm just trying to figure out what you'd like us to do. Because what I'm hearing you say is we're not raising an Article 12 issue and we're not looking for relief on an Article 12 issue.
That's correct, Your Honor. Appellant isn't raising an Article 12 issue, isn't asking for relief. If this court finds that appellant is entitled to relief under Article 12, then that's one thing, but appellant isn't arguing that he's entitled to relief under Article 12.
So are you asking us to reopen the Article 55 assignment of error?
Yes, Your Honor. Appellant's position is that this court can use the Article 12 issue to reevaluate the Article 55 issue in reissuing its opinion. And the Penn's position on that is if Article 12, whether Article 12 applies or not, is no excuse for why he was isolated for his entire 3 months in confinement.
Yeah, but you lost that issue up at CAF. They did not remand on the Article 55 question. So how are we looking at it again? That's what we're trying to figure out is, as far as I can read their one paragraph instruction to us, it's evaluate this in light of Article 12 and determine if we need to take it back for fact-finding. You're telling us Article 12 does not apply and we are not seeking relief from Article 12. Where do we have a leeway to then reopen this for Article 55, especially if we don't find an Article 12 violation?
Your Honor, under United States versus Ginn, I believe this Court has the ability to relook at the Article 55 issue in light of its decision on the Article 12 issue.
Counsel, our underlying decision was essentially there was no Article 55 violation because the Cook County Jail was taking actions to prevent an Article 12 violation. If we find that Article 12 does apply within the United States, as our first decision implied, doesn't that just further emphasize that our, I understand you might disagree with our first decision, but doesn't it further emphasize the rationale of our first decision?
Yes, Your Honor. If this Court finds that Article 12 doesn't apply, as the government alleges, then that could potentially be seen as a the government having less of a rationale to confine the appellant. But either way, whether Article 12 applies or doesn't apply, is confining the appellant for 3 months an appropriate solution? Either way, and that's the appellant's position, as he maintained in his initial assignment of error, whether Article 12 applies or not, it wasn't a proper remedy for the government to isolate him for 3 months to avoid an Article 12 violation.
Counsel, I want to get back to your earlier position regarding that Congress didn't say enemy foreign nationals in, I'll say, the second phrase of Article 12. Given the legislative history and the timing, as my colleagues have pointed out, references to Italian prisoners of war, references to Nazis who were in confinement camps, why shouldn't this Court consider that the phrase other foreign nationals means other foreign nationals associated with an enemy? What's the harm of an American service member being confined, let's say, up in Maine with a Canadian? Is that what Congress was trying to prevent?
Your Honor, it certainly appears that way from the plain language of Article 12. It makes no exception for certain foreign nationals over other foreign nationals.
So wouldn't the enemy distinction be a sensible distinction to make?
In that specific instance, Your Honor, yes. But that's contrary to the plain meaning or plain reading of Article 12 and contrary to legislative history that says it applies every place.
The two separate and distinct, though? I mean, whether it applies every place could just mean that American service members should never be held in a confinement facility in immediate association with Nazi prisoners of war, regardless of whether it's here in the United States or overseas, and that it's the distinction of who that foreign national is that makes Article 12 applicable, not where the confinement facility is.
Your Honor, I would direct your attention back to Article 12 in its plain language. There's no geographical limitation. There's no limitation placed on confinement facilities. It's a simple, you cannot commingle with the enemy or with other foreign nationals. And I apologize if I misunderstood Your Honor's question.
Can you make a representation, if you can't, that's fine, about whether Sergeant Wilson was, in fact, ever housed in anything other than solitary confinement?
Miller. In fact, we conceded in our brief to this court that because he was confined in isolation during his entire confinement, that it's unlikely he was confined in immediate association with foreign nationals.
Well, I ask that because, again, CAF has told us to address whether we need to send this back for fact-finding. So in part of that, is there any issue that we need to send back for a Dubé hearing of some sort to ask the question? If he wasn't ever housed with, say, a general population or could have been in immediate association because he was always in solitary confinement, is there anything for us to go back and look for?
If this court wishes to send this case back for further fact-finding, the one issue that could be addressed is whether or not there were foreign nationals at the Cook County Jail. If there were no foreign nationals at the Cook County Jail, then the government had no basis to confine.
And that's what your brief said, was at the jail. So are you saying anywhere within the confines of the facility itself, Article 12 applies? Because you used the words at the facility, I believe.
Yes.
I would seem to incorporate the entire Cook County Jail.
Yes, Your Honor, because what I mean by that is if the Cook County Jail had done its job and tracked the foreign nationals in its jail, and it had determined, based on its tracking system, that there were no foreign nationals in the jail, then it had no need to isolate the appellant.
So, counsel, you would ask solely for further fact-finding on whether there were foreign nationals present. Not, obviously, if there are no foreign nationals present, there can't be an Article 12 violation, regardless of whether it applies stateside or it doesn't. Your further fact-finding would be on the reopening the Article 55 issue. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, let's assume that there were foreign nationals at this particular facility, but your client was always housed in solitary confinement. Is there a violation of Article 12 under those circumstances?
The appellant's position is no.
Okay, that's all I need.
Seeing no further questions, thank you, Your Honor. I'll continue on rebuttal.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Chief Judge Brown, Senior Judge Harney, Judge Mitchell. May it please the Court, I'm Major Daniel Breen, and along with Colonel Don Christensen, we represent the United States in the matter. In response to the issue specified by the Court of Appeals of Armed Forces, it's the government's position that, pursuant to the canons of statutory construction, the language of Article 58 trumps the language of Article 12, that this construction is supported by legislative history, and finally, even if Article 12 did apply to this case, there's no need for further fact-finding, because the record indicates that the appellant was never held in the media association with foreign nationals.
Well, let's start off right from the beginning then.
Yes, sir.
As defense counsel brings up in their initial Article 55 assignment of errors, the response from the government was that essentially the Cook County jailers were being proactive in preventing a violation of Article 12. And you guys use that as a bit of a shield in the Article 55 analysis. So now it seems like you're saying, well, Article 12 doesn't apply anyway. So which is it?
Well, you know, it's not inconsistent because at the time Cook County was making the decision, it was the position of this court that Article 12 did apply in a county facility, or a state facility, or a federal facility. Now, basically, because of the issue specified by the Court of Appeals, they essentially identified that there's three questions that come across with Article 12. There is a who, a how, which was the Wise case with the immediate association, and then now where. So it's the government's position that this court has had it wrong all along, and that Article 12 does not apply in state and federal institutions.
So what does that do with the Article 55? Rationale, which would then say that they had no basis by which to keep him in solitary confinement for the sole purpose, and I assume that's all the information we have, for the sole purpose of violating military law.
Well, sir, although the Article 55 issue isn't part of the remand, in answering that, the fact that the jail officials and the local confinement people working with the jail officials were trying to comply with the state of the law in the Air Force at the time, there was no intent to punish or harm the appellant. So therefore, it wouldn't implicate Article 55. And hopefully, when this court makes its decisions, the local confinement, the local people down at Moody or whoever received guidance from this court will act in accordance with these court's rulings until such time as it possibly is reviewed by CAF. And at this point, CAF has remanded this issue. So when we have this issue, what we're looking at is we're balancing Article 12 with Article 58. And in Article 12, you have a discussion of treatment, and in Article 58, you have a discussion of treatment in a more specific location, which would include areas under control of the United States, the State, District of Columbia, or a place in which the institution is situated. And an important case that was decided on this issue was decided by our friends down at the D.C. Court of Appeals in Weber versus Bureau of Prisons, and it's a very short decision. I can read the whole thing quickly. Article 58 states categorically that military prisoners housed in Bureau of Prisons facilities shall be subject to the same treatment as their civilian counterparts. It does not create an exception concerning confinement of foreign nationals, nor does Article 12 of the Code provide that its prohibition against such confinement survives Article 58's same treatment rule. Thus, by its terms, Article 58 trumps Article 12. And it's the United States position that this case should be very persuasive with this court because it follows statutory construction guidelines, particularly where parts of the same act should be read harmoniously. And in Bates v. United States, 522 U.S. 23, and United States v. Wilson, 66 M.J. 39, where Congress includes particular language in one section of the statute but omits it in another section, is generally presumed Congress acts intentionally and purposely in the disparate exclusion. Furthermore, in United States v. Bartlett, statutes that cover the same subject matter should be construed to harmonize them if possible. This does not empower courts to undercut the clearly expressed intent of Congress in enacting a particular statute.
So, counsel, let's go to that, the clearly expressed intent of Congress. Does it Congress clearly express that service members are not to be housed with enemy prisoners? And so why shouldn't Article 12 trump Article 58? It sounds like from your logic you would say if you're an American service member, a United States Air Force member who's court-martialed, let's say, for a three-day AWOL and for possession of marijuana, you're sent to jail for 3 or 4 months, and you're held with Al-Qaeda operatives in a Bureau of Prisons who've been arrested and detained for terrorist activities in the United States, there's no violation. That would be fine. You can share the same jail cell. Is that your position?
Well, Your Honor, looking at the legislative history, the Congress wasn't concerned with how the federal courts were treating the prisoners. This dealt with how the military was treating the prisoners at the time.
So your position is American service members could be held in the same jail cell as Al-Qaeda operatives who've been sentenced to the same federal detention facility?
Well, Your Honor, in terms of the issue that was specified, it's the government's position that doesn't apply to state or federal institutions. So that would be an issue for Congress to fix on their own if that were to occur. And, I mean, in terms of your
point, Article 12 says you can't house them together. They haven't fixed it. They've said that back in 1950, you can't house them together. They haven't changed that in 63 years.
Your Honor, I don't believe that that is harmonious with Article 58. And when you look at the legislative history, when they're going through both the discussions, there's never a concern during the legislative history with Article 58 about how the federal prisons were run.
But they specifically took out the Article of War number 16 that took out the language talking about within the outside of the continental United States. So they made an obvious decision to strike that language and give us the present Article 12. So that language was deliberately taken out. What are we supposed to do with that?
Well, with that language taken out, when you look at the legislative history, it's kind of interesting because when they're doing the discussion, they're talking about a complaint about how the Navy might have people from an enemy vessel on their boat, and they may not be able to have individuals in the same brig on the ship. And then they go straight into, we changed that, and we deleted, if you notice, outside the continental limits. So they weren't clear in terms of that issue, but I don't think that it just conflates it to say that, okay, well, that is somehow implies that it has an impact on Article 58, an article farther down the line that specifically deals with the fact that there's the same treatment rule as was decided in Weber versus Bureau of Prisons.
Well, how do you answer the one that Wise, where the court says, although the other terms in Article 12 are straightforward and can and should be read in light of their plain meaning and prior use in our case law, the meaning association is subject to multiple interpretations. So CAF itself has said that the language of Article 12 outside the terms immediate association is plain and should be read for exactly what it says in the statute. They aren't saying there's some type of legislative problem here. They say read it and apply it.
And I would, and Wise was a case that took place in Iraq. The location that they were dealing with was under military control. So I don't think that's inconsistent with the maintaining the theory of military control. They didn't address that part. And I don't think it just necessarily implies that it applies everywhere and every point. And to go to Judge Mitchell's example about Maine, Congress was clear that they didn't want our boys thrown in with Nazis and those people. They weren't worried about our boys being thrown into Maine with Canadians, possibly being exposed to hockey or maple syrup. That wasn't what they were concerned with. 12 and 58 should be harmonized together, as was done in Weber versus Bureau of Prisons, and it makes sense. The whole point of the article for the UCMJ and the scrapping of the Articles of War and the Articles for the Government of the Navy was that Congress was dissatisfied with how the military was handling military justice. And they went ahead and they set up the UCMJ to reassert control over the military. When you look at the legislative history of 58, there is a growing exchange about how we have had our prisoners since 1908 in the federal penitentiaries, including one person in Alcatraz. And there was never discussed in there about a fear of them being exposed to Canadians or a fear of them being exposed to anyone else. They had faith in how the federal government was handling it. As a matter of fact, there was part of the discussion was they were lauding how that is the work that they do, and they were actually discussing how we don't think the military really should be in the business of running prisons when professionals could do it. So they held the federal penitentiary system in great esteem. Their big fear was foreign jails, and their big fear was how the military asserted control over the people in those confinement facilities. And the government would assert that that is the limits of where we think Article 12 should go, both logically and consistent with Weber versus Bureau of Prisons. Now, to address a point that was raised before in terms of the fact-finding, as was pointed out by Appellate Defense Counsel, the fact-finding that he seeks is solely for the Article 55, as was discussed, we are not here on this issue. The issue was specified only as to Article 12. Now, if there's any other questions, I can briefly sum up.
Counsel, I do want to ask a question about that. With the remand on Article 12, if we were to find that Article 12 does not apply, as you are arguing, then doesn't the basis for our previous decision fall apart?
I do not believe it does, because under Article 55, there has to be an intent to punish. There has to be an evil mindset or a desire to inflict punishment on him by putting him in this situation. They were in good faith relying on what they believed was law at the time. And to reassert my other point, I should hope in the future when this court makes decisions that our local confinement facilities will comply with those decisions until such time this court or a superior court overturns those decisions. So I think that this issue, regardless of how you rule on it, will have no impact on the Article 55. So, Your Honor, to reiterate, it's the government's position that pursuant to the canons of statutory construction, the language of Article 58 trumps the language of Article 12, that the legislative history of Article 12 and 58 support this analysis, this And we respectfully request that this court find that Article 12 does not apply to circumstances where an accused or convicted member is confined in a state or federal facility. And we ask this court to provide a published decision detailing this finding. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sir, actually, I'm going to ask one more question.
Counsel, I'm sorry. I'm going to ask one more question.
I almost escaped, sorry.
You almost did. You mentioned state or federal facility from reading articles in the press. A lot of state facilities are now privately run, private contractor facilities. So would that same logic apply to something that's run by a corporation on behalf of the state? Is that a state or federal facility?
Well, Ron, I haven't looked into it. I know that just speaking of my home state, when they have these projects, they have to be, they still have state oversight over them. They still have to comply. It's just contracted out at that point. So if there is a concern in that area, that would be for Congress to raise at that time. And for the purposes of this remand, I don't think it's really needed for your analysis of whether Article 12 should apply to state or federal facilities.
What was your cite to Weber?
It is Weber versus Bureau of Prisons. The cite is 2002 WL3104597. It is a D.C. Court of Appeals case that was decided 12 September 2002.
Thank you.
Good point. Counselor? Thank you, Your Honor. The appellant just has several points in rebuttal with regard to the government's position on Article 58. The government tries to create this conflict between Article 12 and Article 58. And this is the danger of straying from a plain reading of Article 12. Under the government's position, reading of Article 58, which provides for the confinement of a military member in any place that the United States may be allowed to use, as Judge Mitchell pointed out, the military could confine a military member or send them to be confined in a Bureau of Prisons with a member of Al-Qaeda in the same cell under the government's interpretation of Article 58. Additionally, a military member could be confined overseas in a foreign jail with a foreign national under the government's interpretation of Article 58. If Article 58 does in fact trump Article 12, then those situations become a reality. Additionally, if Article 58, same treatment clause, requires the same treatment in a state facility, appellant didn't receive the benefit of that same treatment. Contrary to the rest of the inmates in that facility, who were only placed in solitary confinement as a punishment, appellant was treated differently and confined in isolation for the duration of his confinement. So the government's position on both Article 12 and Article 58 just further demonstrates the validity of appellant's grievances. And the appellant would ask that this court grant appropriate relief. The appellant's position is stated initially that Article 12 applies every place based on a plain reading of Article 12. It's also the appellant's position that further fact-finding isn't necessary to determine whether an Article 12 violation occurred, that this court should look at the Article 12 analysis in determining whether that changes this court's position on its earlier ruling. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, thank you both sides for your arguments. We will take this case under consideration and render a decision in due course. We're adjourned.
All right.